Yeah, it's Tuesday in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Hope you're having a good one. Let's have a great one as we continue. By the way, shout out to John Lopez back in the saddle.
Shout out to me. I am back in the saddle.
That's right.
He said, salute to me.
Salute to me.
Yeah, salute me, please.
Had a little business to take care of yesterday that actually might have something to do with the Houston Sports Authority and the Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
I can't tell you.
Of course you can't.
I can't.
That's why you brought it up.
Yeah, I was like, literally no one asked. I want to make that known. No one asked at all. Yeah. You offered it freely. And then
I mean, I know, but I can't tell you.
I have a secret, but I can't tell you.
That's exactly right.
I'm Reginald Natula. Of course, that's Figgy Fig. Rock with you. And you always get involved with the program by texting in 713-572-4610. That's the number to text. Or you can also catch us on the various Mo Karam Injury Lawyer live streams. Both on YouTube, Sports Radio 610, and then, of course, the Twitch is available for you as well at 610.
You want me to give you a hint? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was about to say, I was like, are you for real about
sure.
to do this?
No. Happy to be back. Productive day. Great weekend, except for the Houston Texans.
I mean, it wasn't a great offense. Weekend for the Astros either, but they're back in the winning ways after yesterday, which was really fun. We'll talk more about that as we go. Of course, as I think we have all week, with practice out in West Virginia, we will chat with Sean Pendergast. I believe we might even get Seth as well, but we'll definitely get Sean at 12:40, courtesy of Yingling. We appreciate them for sending our guy out there.
What was that?
Do we have to see if we can get him to do another accent?
Yeah.
Like, let's see if we can get it. What is
so during the radiothon we had with Reggie and Ron, he was in Jamaica.
Yeah.
And so he was telling the story how I guess one of the workers – that brought him to his hotel.
Oh, that he was drinking.
No, they say he's pretty much saying you allowed to smoke on the balcony.
Yeah,
and he said it in the Jamaican accent.
Yes, he did.
Okay. All right. I remember that.
But I do think that was Red Stripe fuel. If we're going to be completely honest, I think so. That's got us to that place. But yeah, we'll talk to Sean at 12:40. Right now, though, let's talk about the Texans who are practicing out there in West Virginia at the Greenbrier. Sounds like it's beautiful weather. And some beautiful sights and vistas out there as well. Some of those being, one of those is transactional, but Damian Pierce has been activated. And so him and Christian Harris, they're getting work. They're not in full practice with the team, but they're off to the side, supposedly looking really good doing that. Like, what's the excitement level for both of these guys or each of these guys as it looks like the return to football is near?
Excitement level is an interesting way to put it. I don't know how excited I am because we've seen the body of work of Damian Pierce and
he refuses to be excited.
Yeah, hold on, and we know what Christian Harris can be, but obviously up and down last year and a little bit mysterious. How he didn't play. So excitement level probably medium, but certainly. Anticipating it. I mean, certainly looking forward to seeing what we see.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to get them out there. I mean, it makes sense that with those guys traveling to West Virginia that, hey, they should probably actually get out here and practice. Otherwise, what is the full idea? Yeah. Although I guess the idea is everybody is out there. They're probably most of them, if not all the staff out there for the most part. So you want them with them as they continue to get back. Obviously, I think really the big thing is Damian Pierce, thank God, right? Mm-hmm. Like this, nobody has really separated themselves amongst the non-Mixon running back core. So it's time to get in here and maybe see if you can shake things up, if you can provide some level of spark or, kind of figure out your place in this. We had an unofficial depth chart, of course, ahead of a preseason game number one this Saturday versus the Vikings come out. And Damian Pierce slided right behind Nick Chubb.
How about that? That's one of the many things that sort of, eyebrow raiser on the initial depth chart. And while you they always call it the unofficial depth chart, I guess it becomes official during the regular season or right before the regular season. But this is the pecking order.
To some degree. I think
this is the pecking order that they're having on the field. And I always say this, like you say, you were about to say to some degree, but I think this is important to players. It is very important to players to be first on the depth chart, second, whatever it may be, that their goal is for this camp. So while it is unofficial and certainly going to change, this is important to Arianti Urseri. Arianti Urseri is the, at least in this depth chart, the starting right tackle. That matters.
A rookie starting right
that,
tackle.
That matters. And while it's not official and it could change, it matters to them. So I think it's sort of like it pays, they feel like their work is paying off.
No, for sure. And I, the reason why I say it, it, you know, it to some extent is that I don't think coaches love having to put out these depth charts during this point of the season where they're still working on things and finding things and figuring things out. So sometimes, you know, they might not be, it might not be an entirely accurate representation of where they feel everybody is. Just looking at the way that the Texans have put this one out, and we'll kind of divulge some of the interesting things that we see on this depth chart as we go. But just looking at some of the things that they put out right here, it does feel like it fits and falls in line with some of what a lot of what we've seen and some of the things that we've hypothesized. There's a couple of interesting things, including obviously Arianti Urseri being that right tackle and right tackle one on this depth chart, with Blake Fisher being second. And of course, that's only been even further augmented by the idea that with Cam Robinson off to the sidelines, he's not practicing again today, from what we can tell from various people who are reporting on the ground, that, you know, Tay has now moved to left tackle, and Titus Howard slides out to right tackle. So even more, like, it's not just right tackle one and then Blake Fisher right tackle two. Yeah. He might be further down. I do wonder when Trent Brown is healthy, where does he slide in? Because he might slide in ahead of Blake Fisher. Like, this is very clearly a gap there, and Arianti Urseri is going to be a starting tackle for this Texans
team. Yeah, he is. It is very interesting. You know, Blake Fisher, and I know this was talked about yesterday, but when they did have that injury to Cam Robinson, lower leg, Arianti Urseri moved to left tackle, as you mentioned, Titus Howard to right tackle. That says something about where Blake Fisher stands, that they couldn't just slide him in to that spot. So Blake Fisher, certainly, you know, that's one of the interesting things to me on this depth chart and what's going on at practice there. The other one that we talk about and have talked about is your guy, your guy John Metchie, with at the wide receiver depth chart right now. And again, as it sits right now, you got obviously Nico Collins, Christian Kirk, Jaden Higgins with the first group as the third wide receiver. But then the backups are Xavier Hutchinson, Jalen Knoll, and Justin Watson. Justin Watson is the backups to Jaden Higgins on the depth chart. John Metchie is with Braxton Berrios and Jared Wayne on the third team.
Yeah, and look, there's clearly opportunities for things to shift. I think that obviously preseason games will be helpful, although just in a general sense, from a 30,000-foot view, this is a Texans team that I don't feel like it feels like other teams that come into training camp. It feels like they know a lot of things about this team, and they're figuring out small things on periphery. If you look at the way that this depth chart falls, I could easily see this being it all the way through, because they have a certain understanding of we kind of had an idea that Jaden Higgins was going to be that guy on the opposite of Nico Collins. There's been nothing to dislodge that. It seems like that's been continually the case. We've seen Hutchinson get some rest with the first team at times. It makes sense that they like him. Jalen Knoll has clearly, he's flashed. Like, he has, you know, found his way to get open. He's gotten a lot of footballs early on. This makes sense. And then, with the way that they've talked about Justin Watson, a consummate pro, that could easily just be the six wide receivers that you have, possibly adding Berrios as a special teams kind of specialist, and then we're done here. Like, I don't know that it would have to be a lot for Jared Wayne and John Metchie to overcome what I think is already coalescing for this wide receiver room, and as evidenced by this depth chart right now.
Yeah, and you say, they already know a lot coming into camp. Well, especially on the defense, there are, you know, zero surprises on the defense.
Zero?
Zero on the starters.
Mario Edwards ahead of Tim Settle is a little surprising to me.
But Mario Edwards was a starter last year.
He was. Yeah, but the way that Tim Settle... Yeah.
He's played well.
He was incredible down the stretch. Actually, for the entirety of last year, like his pressure from the interior is something that you cannot look past. Because pressure from the interior is something that is becoming more a necessity at this point from the defensive interior. And he provides that. The thing that they've talked about is, can he do that more consistently? And it feels like he's been doing that to some degree. So, like, for me, in my brain, I've looked at him as maybe starter caliber, but I don't know that that's the worst thing.
But he's
in the
definitely
world.
In the rotation. They rotate so much in there.
Exactly. I think.
And Toji, we talked about this a little bit. He's the backup to Mario Edwards on this initial depth chart. He's had a very good camp. If you want some sort of a minor surprise, maybe very minor on the depth chart, I would say two of them: Christian Harris as the backup linebacker and Miles Bryant as the backup nickel. Arthur Mollett is third, and EJ Speed is behind Christian Harris at linebacker.
Yeah, one of those more interesting to me than the other. With all due respect to Arthur Mollett, he's had a red jersey on a lot. He just barely got into contact, and there still remains things to be seen. Plus, he's also new to this. Like, you signed him, was that just before, in the midst of camp, like as camp was starting? We're still seeing him, acclimate to what this defense is, whereas Miles Bryant has a level of familiarity. He's operated in this role as a secondary player to Petrie. It is EJ Speed, who has, again, been with this team all in this offseason, who has actually played. And Christian Harris being slotted in ahead of him is kind of interesting to me. Obviously, they believe in him and his capabilities, and they should. When he has played, he has been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That when he has played has carried a lot of a lot of weight here. And, of course, hopefully we see him here shortly, and he looks like that guy, and so we don't have to worry about this. But I did find that interesting because EJ's been pretty good in his time out there on the fields as well.
Yeah, and I think sometimes when you look at these initial depth charts, and the EJ Speed, Christian Harris thing might fall into this category. Sometimes the coaching staff is trying to send a message to the player. And I think where that's most visible is at running back. You know, they have Damian Pierce as the backup to Nick Chubb, ahead of Dari Ogunbowale, ahead of Woody Marks. To me, that's almost like a message to Damian Pierce. We believe in you. We think you can thrive in this offense, but you've got to prove it. So they've got him as the second team running back. I think maybe a little bit with Christian Harris. We know what you can do. You have Pro Bowl, you know, potential. So let's get it going.
Yeah. From 346, how glad are we as Texans fans that Bill O'Brien doesn't coach this team? Rookies in key positions wouldn't happen. No, for sure. And they've been given clearly a fair shake. And very early on, before we even get them in a joint practice or preseason game, we've got guys that are being believed to that high
and available to the media, which never happened.
Yeah.
They're putting guys out. They had Higgins the other day.
Yeah, it's been like that for a couple years now, man. Even with Lassiter just coming in as a second-round pick.
Yeah.
And see how big of a role he had last year.
And making him available. That's something that I was like, first time that happened, I was like, whoa, so you can do that.
Yeah. some other things of note, you got Dylan Horton and Darrell Taylor as your secondary pass rushers. Of course, I know that you're missing a Danico Autry and a Derek Barnett at that level, but I think that feels right with the way that Dylan Horton has practiced, although he's not practicing today. And Darrell Taylor has been he's been really fun since they brought him in. Obviously, more of a speed guy on the edge, but he's been effective, as it feels like damn near everybody on the defense has to a good degree. And then, of course, shout out to Jalen Smith, who ahead of Damon Arnett and Tremont Smith as one of the cornerbacks. In my mind, he's cornerback three if we're talking outside cornerback without, you know, adding that nickelback role or whatever. He's just, J-Rock's been great. So, no, that one tracks. But, yeah, nothing else that catches your attention off of this, right?
Yes, absolutely. The only other thing that pops for me the depth chart is the ever important center position, Jarrett Patterson.
That's true.
Jarrett Patterson in front of Andrews. So that to me is important. And we are getting more more information as they're practicing now and starting to go at it a little bit. Apparently Nick Chubb popped a big run, which in and of itself is pretty important against this defense, because they haven't even been able to run. I mean, they haven't been able to do any. Yesterday they had false starts. They had they were stuffed at the line of scrimmage. They had four interceptions, I think. Pick six. Just getting worked. Just a horrible, horrible day offensively. Well, according to DJ Bieniemy, Nick Chubb popped one for what would have been at least 30 yards, according to him.
Yeah, and that's a good sign for multiple reasons. Obviously, the idea of getting explosives out of Nick Chubb is a good thing to see, right? Especially as folks like me and others have looked at the explosion or what seemingly is the lack thereof and kind of questioned it, to see some of like the explosive plays, even if he's not as explosive, is good. But on top of that, it reminds us that, you know, the practice during training camp, development isn't linear. I was reminded of that with Sean Pendergast, who talked to CJ Gardner-Johnson yesterday. Check them out. Check that out on social media, I believe, on X, Sports Radio 610, or it might have been Sean Pendergast himself who tweeted it. It was worth a listen. One of the early things he was talking about was the interception that he gathered yesterday.
Yeah.
I think that was in two-minute drill. And he said that, you know, it's just a new thing, that a new package or a new play or what have you that that coach had put in for that day.
Yeah.
And it's worth remembering, like, oh, yeah, that's right. There's new things coming in for the defense that the offense is still acclimating it to as well, on top of installing and finding their foundation with all of those things. And so today, as you're seeing new things coming for the defense, I do wonder if, hey, the offense is going to battle back with, okay, we saw what happened yesterday. What are we doing to kind of counteract that and push ourselves forward? So it does stand to reason that hopefully today is a better day for the offense as they pick up some more of those things touching ground in West Virginia.
Well, next play.
Okay. All right.
Interception by Kamari Lassiter. He was targeting Nico Collins. Overshot him a little bit, and Lassiter intercepted it. Another little observation that we're getting here.
How many interceptions they got?
Dude, yeah, I wanted to stop down on that.
Another interception.
Somebody need to come up with the stats. I know Cleveland been very stat heavy when it comes to training camp.
We doing training camp stats.
I would like to know the
at
stats
least
on
that
how many,
one.
Yeah, how yeah. many interceptions they got?
Guys, who's saying this right now? I am probably viewed as the stat guy on the show.
You anti camp.
I don't need camp stats, but I do think like.
But you stopped when I said another interception.
No, and that's because the general like I don't need the exact stats, but the general idea is that these quarterbacks have been throwing a lot up to
a
the
lot.
Other team.
A lot.
Yes, it's a turnover defense. I think we know that for certain, and I'm excited to see
it
more.
It better
of that.
Be the way camp going.
But there has been a number of kind of errant passes. Do you have like does that hit you in a particular place? Seeing CJ Davis Mills obviously doesn't matter as much. Because
that was CJ.
Best case scenario.
That was CJ to Nico.
Sure. I'm saying best case scenario, you don't have to see Davis play at all, honestly. But CJ having more of these instances where, yes, he's had some timely and good anticipatory throws, but he's also had some errant throws in a way that you don't want to see from CJ. Any concerns with that thus far?
Yes. Look. I was telling you guys before the show even began, it's starting to feel a little bit like a Yogi Berra camp to me. Like Yogi Berra once said, it gets late early out there. Well, preseason gets late early, you know, when you start doing this in preseason games. Of course, they're playing Saturday. No, panic. But how can you not notice that? How can you not realize this offense? You know, we kept talking about it. You know, it takes time. I was the first one to say I would be very surprised if it takes 4 or 5 regular season games before we start really seeing what this offense is. But nevertheless, I wasn't here Saturday, but let's go Friday, Saturday, you tell me, yesterday and today, 8 interceptions? 9?
There's been a number of them.
Yeah.
There's been a number of them. So, yeah.
Have they had a clean game with no interceptions?
No.
A clean day's practice?
At all this camp?
Not that I can recall.
Yes, I'm having a hard time recalling that myself.
Not that it matters, but...
But no. Does it matter if it's that many is my point.
Yeah. When do you start to worry a little bit?
It gets late early.
Somebody said, I'd like to see Davis a lot in fourth quarters if possible, if we have leads.
What?
Great point. No, the idea of winning a game so big that here come number 10 to shut this thing down.
It got to be, 42 to 10 or something? Yeah. It's just over.
Yeah. I'll take it.
I would, too.
I would love that. That'd be interesting, though. How likely do you think it is that the Texans run up the score like that, especially if they're going to have more of a run-based, ball-dominant offense? We'll see.
I don't see it, man. Especially if you're looking at Nick Caley being the New England offense type of deal. I don't think their offense was really like that.
As of right now, they got to figure out how to run the ball consistently. A little glimmer of hope there, though. You bust a 30-yard one thereabouts for Nick Chubb. That's a good sign. Hopefully, we'll see more. And we'll talk to Sean Pendergast and maybe Seth Payne of the morning show, Payne and Pendergast, at 12:40 to get their insights as to what practice looks like today in West Virginia. Yes, Steven, we do have one of the best secondaries. That is something that we credit. But after a while, to some degree, you go, all right.
Yeah.
And some of these, to be fair, like qualitatively as opposed to quantitatively, there have been some poor passes at times that make you go, hey, what's happening there? Like, what was the practice? What were you working on? Because sometimes those interceptions are balls that would have been thrown away or balls that you would have tucked in, ran or what have you, that you're just trying to get give the wide receiver a chance on the rep to practice. But there have been a number of them where we're starting to get to a place where I go, hey, what's happening? Is it communication? Is it, trying to get on the same page with new concepts or whatever? Especially with whenever I see a CJ to Nico, because that's probably the most ironclad pairing that should be happening on the offense. So interceptions happening there is always a little bit surprising.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. A lot of stuff to talk about, with including Cam Robinson not practicing again and Ariante Ursary sliding to left tackle. But today, Ed Ingram is the right guard in the stead of
And
Jake Andrews center. They're doing a lot of moving and mixing to figure some things out. We'll talk more about that as we go. But coming up next, the Astros got a victory yesterday, but we also, maybe more importantly for the Astros, got a little bit of another injury update. Are you buying it? Because for the first time ever, I think Lopez is. 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next. Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Still trying to keep you connected to Texans training camp. Right now, out there in West Virginia, where apparently Davis Mills had a big connection with Jaden Higgins, who is running with the twos at this moment. I'm not going to make a big deal of that, but that did catch my eye. But what,
quarterback controversy?
What are you doing right now? But hey, big play down the right sideline sounds like the type of thing that Jaden Higgins is here to add. So good to see that that's happening. We'll check in with Sean, maybe Seth later on in the show, see what they thought of that and more. But right now, let's talk about the Houston Astros. Your Astros managing to break a little bit of a losing spell that they got themselves on. And gets a victory in Miami versus Sandy Alcantara, a dude who very well could have been on this side. Mm-hmm. To be fair, it kind of looks like he's been broken since he had to come back from injury. That's neither here nor there. But maybe more importantly, actually, I'll ask you: do you view this as more important, seeing the injury update that we got from the Astros, or just getting a victory, especially building a fourth inning like they did yesterday?
Injury update all day, every day, right now, especially with the. Not really bringing in a pitcher, and you've got all these guys that are officially in rehab, actual games. And so you were talking about I may be buying the latest injury.
Yeah, it sounds like it from what we've had opportunity to discuss.
I may, and I also may not.
Okay, all right. So, and speaking of, like you mentioned, not getting an arm, apparently Dana Brown, again, on the broadcast for Space City Home Network yesterday as well out mm-hmm. there in Miami, and that's one of the things he highlighted. He was like, yo, there's a number of guys that should be returning, mm-hmm. And we could talk about some of these updates, including Spencer Arrighetti, who threw 4 2/3 on Thursday. We now know he's scheduled to throw Wednesday. Yeah. He's scheduled to throw tomorrow in Miami for the Astros. So there you go. That's a guy that we are looking at as a potential guy to slide in as your third starter. He'll be back in action, and we'll get to see, how far along he is right now before, the next, 50 games of mm-hmm. baseball that you have headed into the postseason. So you have that. On his tails are supposed to be Christian Javier, who threw 3 1/3 in Sugar Land on Wednesday. So he has another rehab assignment, but mm-hmm. I imagine that one more, and then we'll probably see him next week. And then the likes of J.P. France and Luis Garcia both threw in the two and two-thirds for France and Garcia, respectively. They still have rehab work in Sugar Land as well. But those guys, maybe in the next couple weeks, seemingly will be in the same space. So that's, four pitchers that should have an opportunity to return, in addition to Dubin, who's thrown mm-hmm. out of obviously a reliever. How do you view this, this update that we have with these pitchers seemingly well on the heels of returning for your Astros?
Well, there's part of me that wants to buy it and can buy it, part of me that doesn't, and part of me that's just kind of curious. Let's go through this, because you mentioned the pitchers. So Arrighetti, he's a big leaguer again. He's back with the big squad. The other three, actual assignments, actual performances and innings in minor league games, in Sugar Land too, which is nearby and obviously a little higher level. But then there's some other updates. Yordan Alvarez, Jake Myers, and Zach DiCenzo, they're all in that, quote, continuing hitting progression mode. Nobody has any idea what that means.
That's not fair for Jake Myers. He's progressed to flat ground running.
Oh, well, he's got flat ground running to it as well. But when they say that, we've heard that before. He's in his hitting progression. What does that mean?
He is progressing towards hitting. I don't know. Why are you looking at me like I work for the Astros?
So yeah, I'm optimistic about the pitchers. I think we're going to see him. I've mentioned it multiple times. I just want a third of these guys to hit or thereabouts. One or two to hit, to be productive, to get going up here. But then you have Alvarez, Myers, and DiCenzo. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
Yeah.
And as much as Yordan is the big one for me trying to get him back, seeing yesterday's game and seeing the way that the Astros built that fourth inning where you go double. In fact, I sent this to Luke because yesterday, obviously, me and Luke were talking about this team. And then we were very excited to see that fourth inning. Double, RBI double, bunt single, mm-hmm. and then steal from first to second. Then you have, I believe, an RBI single, an RBI fielder's choice, and then another single and a double for the Astros. Like, that is the type of inning that's capable, and that's one mm-hmm. of the beauties of having, one, the bats that you brought in, including Jesus Sanchez, who, he might have been the player of the game yesterday for the Astros. But it seems like they have enough guys that now, maybe if one guy isn't going, you can hand off the lineup. Like, we can have a relay race of sorts at the plate where, guys can get a single or a double or, get these extra base mm-hmm. hits at times. It seemed like they did in that. But, it doesn't have to be one guy creating in the ways that it feels like it had been at certain points early on in the season, and it feels a little bit more like what you'd started getting towards in the middle of the season when you started hitting a groove where you have a number of guys because you brought in the bats that you have. So I actually feel a little bit okay. I know Jake
with
Myers.
What they have.
With what they have and what hopefully they could possibly get in returning maybe possibly in the future.
Yeah.
Yordan. Yordan is the biggest one that's necessary because of the big bat and the fear that he strikes in others. But I think seeing the injury report and seeing that you have pitchers on the way that at least can get out here and throw some innings, and hopefully you can find a guy that is solid enough to give you 1, 2, 3 when you head to the postseason. I think that's the big thing for me that gives me a little bit of solace right now.
No, I agree, and you know, I always call it keeping the conga line going. You don't need to be you know, home runs and all that stuff, just a conga line, just a little bit, 1, 2, 3 around the bases, et cetera. But then there's this, and this is the one that just, I don't know what it made me feel, but curious. So you saw the update on Lance McCullers Jr.? Today marks, he was on the 15-day DL as of July 20th.
Sir, it is 20 to 25. That is the IL.
Oh, the IL.
Thank you.
He's on the IL. Today is day 16 of the 15-day IL. So he's clearly going to go past it. And you're hearing maybe a week or two for him to get back. Do we remember why he went on the IL?
Blister.
That is one hell of a blister, man. It's going to be a 25-day blister.
I forgot he went on the IL for that.
Yeah.
A blister.
Correct.
25 days probably or more. Was it a blister?
I mean, I still think it's a blister.
I would say it was more than that freak accident that happened that one time.
Yeah, he was also on the IL because he had a freak weightlifting accident.
So here's the issue, though, with the idea of the...
So
the,
what do we believe?
He threw 4 innings with that blister, apparently, according to the injury report on Wednesday. So, like, it's not that he can't throw it. He's not throwing it with comfort, and he's not throwing with the level of success that you hope. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're right. Maybe it's not a blister. Maybe he need to
maybe
get his head
broken
right.
Hand.
Maybe he need to get, no. Because, again, you're not throwing 4 innings with a broken
finger.
I think it might be a broken mentality. Like, he might need to get himself mentally to a place. Because, again, we know with him, he's not throwing gas. Like, he needs to be a pitcher in the truest sense of the word. And so we saw that kind of wane. Yeah. I see you rotating your arms.
What?
I get it. You think it might be a shoulder issue. I don't think, again,
I just
that he's
something.
Throwing as much as he does if it is a shoulder injury.
I just got a little something right here.
If I'm inclined to think that it is not actually a blister, I think it's mental. I think it's getting him back mentally to the place where he is, you know, he is attacking guys in the way that he needs to, because that is clearly something that waned this season with when he has been healthy.
Yeah.
Can I say one more thing that I find interesting? Because today we got an opener.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who that is, and we were looking at, you know, kind of the player usage when it comes to the pitchers in the pen. Maybe it's Contreras. Maybe it's Okert. I think that could possibly be openers. Regardless, it's a bullpen day.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you have a Spencer Arrighetti start, which I'm happy to see him back. However, how many did he throw? Like, what was his last outing?
Four and something?
4 2/3?
Yeah.
Are we certain he gives you 5 or 6?
No.
So that, like, your bullpen might be working over the next 2 days in a very, very substantial way.
It might be. And I was going to make this a confession, but I know you guys talked about it yesterday. Where do you guys stand with the Isak Paredes choosing to rehab instead of surgery? Because I have a very strong opinion.
No, we got that after the show. We hadn't had an opportunity to talk about that. So, yeah.
Feel like he don't trust him?
I feel it was a huge mistake.
On Isak?
On Isak's part. Mm. Because he, by all accounts, by what we know and what he had a first opinion, he had a second opinion. Clearly, the second opinion didn't waver very much from the first opinion. The first opinion was surgery, right? Second opinion wasn't just rehab. He chose to rehab instead of surgery. That's not hard to add 2 + 2 there, right? I don't expect to see him. It's a torn hamstring, in my opinion.
And you know what? That might.
Why? Just have the surgery, because here's the last thing.
Go ahead. No, you got it.
Because if he doesn't have surgery now and he rehabs and it doesn't get better or, heaven forbid, worse, then he's going to have surgery in the off season. And that pushes you back into training camp and spring training.
Well, this is the thing. I do wonder. Did Dana and the Astros already have some level of feeling that Isak was maybe going to make a decision like that? And does that contribute to why you get Correa? Because, again, we haven't talked a lot about it, but we've mentioned it a number of times, the idea that, hey, you have Correa not just for this season, but for 2 more seasons after, and there's not a clear place that he would play.
Yeah.
Is there some level of hedging of or like protecting or insurance in the idea that, hey, not only is Correa coming in and he's a clutch hitter, which we saw yesterday and is exciting for when you get to the postseason. Mm-hmm. I keep saying it as if it's a given, even though you don't have a major lead in the ALS. Yeah. But I think, you know, we speak things into existence that we want to be there. But like Correa can give you that clutch hitting and everything. But also, is that we're not certain, especially with the way that Isak might want to play this injury, mm-hmm. that he's going to be available next year, and maybe Correa just keeps playing third.
Yeah, because it was so frustrating to me. I was like, I get it. Kudos to you for wanting to gut it out, rehab, and play this year. Congratulations and kudos. But that is a huge disappointment to me, because if you don't get surgery now and you aggravate that thing, you're going to have surgery in freaking, you know, November.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and it's probably going to get aggregated again.
Yeah.
Aggravated again.
Yeah.
We'll see what that looks like again. Opener today, 5:40, first pitch for your Astros there in Miami. And we'll talk a little bit more about the game itself, because I was over the moon watching that fourth inning, I got to tell you. And then they went and added more runs to make me happy. It was I was positively post-coital by the time the game was over, just watching that Astros game.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah. I think we all do. Don't we all like being a little post-coital?
We all like
that. We like that feeling. Yeah. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that word that many times before 11 a.m. But coming up next, let's get to our question of the day here, ladies and gentlemen. What's something that you would that you do to give yourself a confidence boost? Because I do wonder if the Texans, especially their offense, have something like that. 713-572-4610. What's something you do to give yourself a confidence boost? Let's talk about it next. All right, yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You heard the big voice, man. Training camp still going on. We're seeing reports of some of the team drills that are happening. It seems a little bit more balanced from what I can tell. Of course, I'm reading as opposed
to
watching.
What does that upward inflection in your voice mean?
Yes, I think you know what the upward inflection means. Is I don't know what to make of this. But from what we're seeing, like, you know, there's instances where CJ's had some completions. He had a run of completions, it seems like, to Christian Kirk, Nico Collins, Cade Stover. Also had some batted down passes and was also sacked. So, like, it runs the gamut there. There was also a play in a different kind of drill with the first teams where trying to throw a hitch to Xavier Hutchinson that apparently was tipped and intercepted by Kamari Lassiter. How much of that is just Kamari making an incredible play? That's what I would seem to lean on. So we're seeing some of those things. And one of the things that I also saw that was interesting, supposedly there was a pitch thrown to Dare, which first and foremost.
Pitch?
Why?
Yeah.
with all due respect. But apparently that was blown up very easily by Jalen Petrie. And just knowing Jalen Petrie and watching his game, I think about it and I go, that might not have been anybody's fault. Petrie,
that's what
just,
he does.
He triggers so quickly.
Yeah, that's what he does.
So anyways, we'll talk to Sean Pendergast, I believe also Seth Payne at 12:40, get some more insight into what's happening, what they see on the ground in West Virginia. But right now, question of the day, Tom, what's something that you do to give yourself a confidence boost? Because I'm very intrigued as to maybe what the fellas on the Texans offense and all the staff and crew would have done yesterday and over the weekend to try and give themselves a level of confidence. Because, I mean, we've talked about it time and time again, the defense continually getting wins on these days. And Daniel Jeremiah reminded us, hey, don't forget, defenses are ahead of offenses at this time of year. But I can't imagine that it's fun to get out here and have C.J. Gardner-Johnson barking at you about how his belt ass with their defense versus your offense. So, like, what do you do to regain some confidence?
We've all been there, right?
Where
you're just like, dang, I can't win today. Whether it's traffic and then you're, you know, whatever, you forget an appointment or, you know, you have a fender bender. I mean, man, I can't win today. I need some confidence here. Or just work related.
Well, if you have a fender bender, it's over.
Over. Maybe that was an extreme example. Or just work, like, oh, I don't feel like I'm in the groove today. But either way, what do you do
What, you expect me to deny it?
What do you do to gain that? I got a few things that I always do, and I've just been doing them for years. The first one is always music. I always put on, and even during the show, because you play one song that I always play, Let It Whip. That one always gets me going. Because it also kind of reminds me of, like, a moment in my youth or a moment in time where you're like, that was such a good time. You know what I mean? That was such a great era, you know, listening to Daz Band and all that stuff. Or the Stones, Brown Sugar, that's another one. But it just kind of gets me going. It takes me back to, you know, high school and college and all that stuff. And that's a real confidence boost. Let me ask you about this one, though, because I don't think I do this, but maybe I do. A lot of people go eat.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm trying to think, what is it? I imagine sometimes music, I don't think it's a consistent one thing I will do, and it's not necessarily even just eat, it's like, I'll treat myself. This is treat yourself time. Like, all right, something that I might not normally splurge on. All right, we about to go get wings, or we about to go get, you know, something fancier than I normally would, just to give yourself an opportunity to have those endorphins.
Confidence.
Confidence also comes from, I subscribe, I don't know if you do, to the Deion Sanders, like kind of look good, play, look good, feel good, feel good, play good, right? Like that feel good into opera, into like a good performance type situation. So, hey, man, an easy way to feel good is just eat something that makes you feel good, something luxurious. So let's go do that.
Yeah, mine is music as well. I will put on gospel music to kind of get me going a little bit, because sometimes, you know how your brain, you have them days where you just don't feel anything positive at all. And so usually the gospel music kind of put me in a better space.
Yeah.
And then also, this one always make me feel good every time I get it. When I get my hair done and haircut.
Kind of what he's saying.
Yeah. At that point, I'm like, all right, I'm feeling much better now. Now I can maybe buy some clothes or something like that. That's a confidence booster.
This is one I do not do, but a lot of people subscribe to it. Tell me if y'all do this. Like one of the, I think it's the 832 was talking about basically self-affirmation. He talks to himself.
Self-talk.
I never do that. I feel silly doing it. Like, all right, John, you can do that. No, I just like feel such a goofball. But a lot of people live by those affirmations.
Oh, yeah. And then here's the thing. There's a lot of things that feel silly when you do them, and you ultimately find success and you go, well, this works.
Yeah.
And so that's one of those things that I feel like I should do more, and I simply will not because I know myself. But no, that's actually probably very healthy. But then also on top of that, they go, I think, you know, self-talk, but then actually just bleep and push through. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also part of it, right? Like the idea of, hey, talk positive, but also find a little bit of fight to you. From the 832, I sense the judgment in this text. Wings is a fancy meal for you. I didn't say that was inherently a fancy meal, but I won't always splurge on wings.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just, hey, we going to go get some wings today.
Retail therapy. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Just go buy stuff. A lot of people do that if they're depressed too, but maybe they kind of go together. Depression and
that can kind of be a bad thing too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Especially because what you're doing is you're trying to get that feeling pop of, hey, this is this new thing. But what it also gets you to is you realize, oh, this actually doesn't make me as happy as I thought it would.
You don't get that feeling.
So like the other side of that is actually very dangerous for me personally. I'm like, hey, I got this thing and it made me happy for a very short period. And then I realized,
I'm sad again.
Yes. Yeah. Which is even worse. Yeah. I think that's the part that gets me.
This is another thing I do, and this could be very tricky as well. Mm-hmm. But whenever I need a confidence boost or kind of feeling all right, I take a drink. Mm-hmm. I just get me a little drink.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't do it all the time, though. Yeah. I'm not like, I'm depressed. Let me go drink my tears and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do it just to get a little pop.
A lot of our listeners are hitting the bong. So maybe.
Hey, there's medical marijuana for a reason. Hey,
that's not surprising.
Look, get in where you fit in.
Some people got to smoke before they do anything.
Yeah. Some people do.
Yeah.
They used to kill me back when I used to rap and used to be in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be dudes that had to smoke before they rap. I'm like, man, come on. Let's just get this work done.
Some people
first, I got to smoke.
I hate to say this, but some people function better.
They do.
They function better.
I seen that firsthand.
Yeah.
I'm like, to the point when they didn't have a smoke, they was acting weird.
Yeah.
I'm like, dog, you need to smoke or something, man.
I respect it from the 281. They said they've been in sales their whole career. Sometimes when they're in a slump, time to spend a little time with the wifey. You know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Clear
your head.
That's probably, does the family get to take the trip to West Virginia with the Texans?
I don't think so.
I know that a big thing for D'Amico is, hey, spending time and getting closer as a team.
Yeah.
So that might be tough for some of those folks in that space. And I do wonder if the Texans will utilize some of this, which is somebody said that they find one of the homies in the group and they just roast them woefully.
Make yourself feel better by tearing down someone else.
Of course, now you got to be careful with the way that you do this, right? I imagine you do it with friends, but I do wonder, hey man, spending some time with some friends is always a good one for me. It's like sometimes just get away, spend some time with the people that you care about, friends, family, and hopefully that gives you a little perspective, get you back in that space.
Yeah, I think sometimes just making other people feel good,
mm-hmm.
even if it's like words or just a gift or something like that. Sometimes that makes me feel better.
Lately, I've just go pick up my granddaughter. Really? One or the other.
That's a good one.
Whichever one's close. That always makes you more confident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dog.
Oh, God. How could I forget that? One. The dog's a good
one. It got to the point, man. I think me and my wife had to have a serious talk because she was like, how come every time you come in the house, you be so excited to see him? Yeah. But then all that energy died when you speak to me.
Because I like him better. But, that's what I used to say.
No, well,
Jan is really a saint, ain't she?
Yeah.
That's
no way in hell I could say that. But I'm like, the dog is so happy every time I walk through the door. Yeah. Like the first time he saw me in years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so that makes me happy.
Yeah. I used to tell her, like, if there was a fire and I could only save one, I'd save Gibson.
That's
because she can get out on her own.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. She can get out.
That's an insane thing to say directly to the face of your wife. Some other one from the 832. Sometimes a really good hamburger. That is fair.
Yep.
Just take a drive. 3-6. I used to be a drive person. Yeah, I think a walk is
nice
a little bit
long,
more.
I don't
now.
Run anymore, but I used to go for
a drive is a good one.
Long
me
run.
And the wife usually do night drives.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah?
We just drive around, listen to R&B.
Yeah.
Just driving nowhere.
I still remember about when I was like, yeah, that might not be something I want to keep doing when I kept looking at these gas prices. I was like, hey,
yeah.
That might have been, you might just want to take a walk. You might just want to use something that does not cost numerous dollars per gallon in order to do
that's
it.
That's a good date, though, man.
Yes, I like that. Yeah. I'm glad you still do that. It used to be, people used to do that all the time. Sunday drives, night drives, just to get out of the
night
house.
Drives, drive around, just especially
Sunday drives used to be a thing.
For sure.
Yeah. Load up the family, go on a Sunday drive.
For sure.
Where are we going? I don't know.
And then I'll leave it with this because I think this one is a good one as well. Shout out Max from the 713. Confidence booster for them. Run their errands early in the morning. Once they're done, you can relax knowing you got a lot done. Like sometimes just find a way to be productive in another place and build that confidence there.
I think the hard thing is trying to get to that point, though, because sometimes I'm just like, man, I don't feel like doing it. Even if it's just planning out something.
Yeah.
Sometimes I got to go to a coffee shop to just get focused.
Oh, yeah, just get yourself to a different place.
Because if I'm at home, I ain't going to do it. But I got to go to a coffee shop to do it.
To be honest, I thought West Virginia would be some of that for the offense. Get yourself to a different place in a different space, and hopefully you perform in a different way.
Maybe Blake Fisher's going to be talking to himself. A little affirmation.
I swear we got to get this man in front of you. We're going to make Blake Fisher see you.
It's a bit.
Omar, please get Blake Fisher on as a player interview.
First question. So, Blake, how you feeling, man?
Yeah. Tell Lopez keep that same energy.
That's funny. All right. Those are the questions of the day. Appreciate you guys getting involved. But coming up next, let's get into some around the NFL, including some other depth charts. What are some interesting things that we learn from other spaces? Plus, are the Browns really adding another quarterback? We'll talk about all of that next on Sports Radio 610.